see you all here. This meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries will come to order. The time is 10:02 on Thursday, April 4th. Members present are Representative Vance, Representative Christ Tompkins, Representative Edgerman, and myself, Chair Stutes. And I will repeat this as I do every time. Please double check your cell phones and make sure that they are turned off. And if you need to pass a note to anyone, please do not approach the table, but get the attention of my committee aide, Matt Greening, and he'd be happy to help you. I'd like to thank Butch Carber, the Fisheries Secretary, and Flannery Ballard from the Juneau LIO for teleconferencing support. Welcome, Representative Kopp. Up first, we have House Bill 105, Commercial Fisheries Fund Vessel Owner Claims by Representative Ortiz. Welcome, Representative Newman. And as we know, Representative Ortiz is in House Finance, so we will have his committee aide, Liz Harpold, presenting for him. If you would approach, thank you. State your name and affiliation for the record.
Hi.
And if you'd like to make a wrap-up statement on this bill.
Great. Thank you. For the record, Liz Harpold, staff to Representative Ortiz, and I'm very sorry that he was unable to be here today, but as the Madam Chair said, he is up in House Finance right now.
And before we start, I would like to make note for the committee's information that we received no amendments to this bill, so the intent is to move the bill today. Welcome, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So if you would like to make your wrap-up statement, Ms. Harpold.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I just want to thank the committee for taking this bill up on Tuesday. There were great questions about it, and I hope that we sufficiently answered any questions that you had, but there's great support from the industry to see this one go forward, and so I again, just want to thank you for your positive support on this on Tuesday.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the sponsor of this bill? Seeing none, with that, I would entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move to report House Bill 105, LS-063/A out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Thank you. And hearing no objections, House Bill 105 is reported out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note. And with that, we will take a brief recess. Our next order of business, the committee will be taking up House Bill 65, Fish Tax, Repeal Municipal Funds, Revenue Sharing by the Governor. Here to present the bill in person, we have the Commissioner Designee from the Department of Revenue, Bruce Tangeman, with technical support online from Brandon Spanos, Deputy Director, Tax Division in the Department of Revenue. Commissioner Designee Tangeman, please join us at the table. Identify yourself and your affiliation for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Bruce Tangeman, Commissioner Designee for the Department of Revenue. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss this bill. Thank you for bringing it up for a hearing. I will go through a brief synopsis of why we're doing this, and then Mr. Spanos is online to go through the sectional answer technical questions. And we also have Mary Gramling from the Department of Law if there's legal questions as well.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the state currently shares 50% of the revenues collected from its two main fisheries taxes with municipalities. The fisheries business tax is shared with municipalities where fishery resources were processed, and the fisheries resources landing tax is shared with municipalities where the fishery resources were brought to the shore. The revenues are shared each October and are based on actual receipts from the previous calendar year. In fiscal year 2018, the state shared approximately $29 million in revenues with the communities, thereby about $60 million total was brought in through these two. This bill would repeal the statutes that provide for this revenue sharing. The policy rationale behind this bill was to identify statewide revenues currently being shared or diverted to help balance the budget. So a couple details on the two taxes that we're proposing to repeal, or the sharing portion. Repeals the current 50% sharing, revenue sharing, of the fisheries business tax, or the raw fish tax. This is collected from processors and people who export unprocessed fishery resources from Alaska. And number two, fishery resources landing taxes, levied on fishery resources processed outside of and first landed in Alaska. These taxes relate to processing activities within and outside of an incorporated city or organization borough. The bill makes this retroactive to January 1st, 2019. Consequently, these taxes would not be shared with municipalities this coming October 2019, even though the taxable event occurred in the calendar year 2018. A brief history of the two taxes. The fisheries business tax dates back to pre-territorial Alaska, 1899. The tax was first shared with municipalities at 10% of the total revenue in 1962. The share was raised to 20% in 1979 and then raised again to the current 50% in 1981. Sharing with an unorganized borough was authorized in 1990. The fisheries resources landing tax dates back to 1994. The legislature restructured the tax in 96 to mirror the fisheries business tax program. Sharing was part of the program from the beginning. Implementation cost will be approximately $50,000 to update the tax revenue management system, and no additional staff are required. That's all I have for my opening, and if we could turn it over to Brandon, he could walk you through the sectional.
Before we do, are there any questions?
So,
Representative Edgman.
Commissioner,
yes,
put you in a difficult position here, and a question you've probably been expecting. Why decimate local coastal communities in terms of community of Alaska, for example? This is a full third of their revenue. This is a community that has to provide important water, wastewater, life and safety, fire protection, law enforcement, a whole host of services as an industrial center. And Alaska is just one of a number of communities. What's the thinking beyond this? What does Alaska do with a tax base that would struggle at best to recover that third of that revenue source? And again, that's just one community of many that's going to find itself with a huge hole in their budget, all in one fell swoop. There has to be some rationale for doing this other than, oh, gee, we need the money at the state level.
Representative Edgman, through the chair, that's an excellent question. I believe when you get to public testimony, you'll hear from all the communities that this affects. The rationale from the state's perspective is we have limited resources now. We're in uncharted territory simply by the actions that we've seen over the last several years. We are now using a portion of the earnings reserve to fund government. We've never done that. We're using portions of the dividend, or we weren't distributing the full dividend. That's something we haven't seen. That just speaks to the revenue situation we're currently in. The administration's perspective is all available revenue to the state needs to be brought to the table. And then we, as the executive branch and the legislature, need to decide the best, most efficient way to redistribute the entire revenue stream back to Alaska. So it's not a matter of all of it's coming from the communities never to be seen again, but it is, I believe, the administration's perspective that available revenues need to be used to the benefit of all Alaskans. So I completely understand the perspective you have, sir, but I think that's the rationale from the governor's perspective.
May I follow up, Madam Chair?
You may.
So, Commissioner, thank you for that response. It's a difficult question to rationalize. In my view, the thinking is absolutely flawed, and it's absolutely counter to the governor's mantra that we're opening Alaska for business. When you look at the multiplier effect of the economies from coastal Alaska, not just in the maritime business, but the transportation business, the entire GDP of the state of Alaska is enhanced by what happens at these local levels. and to take away these local communities' ability to provide the whole host of things I just mentioned, water and wastewater, I would add, and a bunch of other things as well, cripples their ability to contribute to keeping Alaska open for business. And again, a community like Unalaska in particular, last 20 years running by volume the largest contributor to the largest seafood community in the state. So I just need to put that on the record. I appreciate your response, but it just doesn't have any authenticity, not to you personally, but with the premise behind the whole thing, knowing that if we cripple these local communities and ability to provide these services, who comes in and provides the services, or where does this money come from? I mean, that question to me remains hanging out there like a dark black cloud. And so I'm going to be not only opposing this measure, but I'm going to be opposing it with a vigor and everything that I've got. Thank you.
Commissioner designee, I'm curious, did the administration have any discussion with any of these communities that would be greatly affected by this prior to making this decision?
Madam Chair, I do not know the answer to that. The fisheries tax resides in the Department of Revenue, but this was a part of the budget process that I was not a part of.
I would like a response to that hopefully you'll be back on Tuesday. And this committee would like to have a response to that, if there was any kind of dialogue whatsoever as to the effect. Because I am going to mimic the speaker in suggesting that this precludes Alaska being open for business. Because when this dollar are transferred, and that's what it's doing, it's shifting the burden to local municipalities, which is going to prevent them from providing the amenities that are required to maintain a viable, strong, healthy community for their citizens. As I've said once before, and you'll probably hear me say 100 times again, you can live anywhere in the United States and fish in Alaska. Our objective is to keep those people in Alaska with their families. And this is absolutely opposite of that direction, from my opinion. Anyway, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Welcome, Commissioner. Commissioner, you had mentioned, I thought, that the landing tax would be retroactively basically encumbered back to cover the cost of this operating budget. My question is when are those funds let out? Because, you have your landing tax at the point of offtake that's collected, and the value of that ex vessel, value of that, the taxes on that. When does that money go back into the communities? And if you go back and retroactively, how does that money change all work out?
Representative Newman, through the chair, very good question. The taxes are distributed back to the communities in October each year, and the revenues that are distributed are the actual revenues collected from the previous calendar year. Tax year. So this October 19th, the amount would be distributed based on the actual revenues collected in calendar year 2018.
Clarification? Question?
Certainly.
Thank you. Then again, so the money that was let this year was collected from the prior year, so the money collected this year is still sitting over in the Department of Revenue?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, yes, sir. Yes, sir. The revenues are collected throughout the year and then distributed the following year. So
thank
yes,
you,
sir.
Chair.
Thank you. And Commissioner Designee, to follow up on that, so what the administration's proposal is to not just collect the 2019 revenue, but to go back and collect the 2018 revenue from these municipalities as well. Am I correct?
Madam Chair, I think it'd be more accurate to say not distribute the revenues that they would be expecting to receive in 19. So we wouldn't be going back to take revenues that were already distributed. This bill would just not distribute revenues that would be expected this October.
Right.
Same.
Not
period.
Distribute revenues that the municipalities are currently banking on.
Yes, ma'am.
As long as we.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Got it. Okay. Other questions? Representative Christ Hopkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for your reference, I just came out of a hearing to eliminate the senior benefit program, so I'm feeling really bullish on the administration's policy proposals right now. Although this, I would say, is actually a little bit more reasonable than what I just came out of. So, I mean, there's a conversation to be had about revenues and sharing with municipalities. I got two questions. Let's just take a hypothetical that this legislation doesn't pass the legislature. There's a line item in the budget following law, pursuant to law, that these revenues get dispersed back to municipalities. Are you able to make any comment to municipalities the degree to which the governor or the administration will abide by the will of the legislature if this legislation fails to pass, and in fact dispersing those revenues back to communities and not line item vetoing that disbursement?
Through the chair, Representative Kreis Tompkins, I can't speak to what actions the governor may or may not take with the line item veto ability.
Follow up. How would you suggest municipalities plan around that uncertainty?
Through the chair, Representative Kreis Tompkins, I could not speak to how communities would need to prepare for this action.
That's unfortunate because there's a lot of revenue. It's a major share of a lot of municipalities' budgets, and I think, you know, a black cloud is appropriate. I mean, just there's not the wherewithal to respond to that kind of uncertainty. But that's a comment, not a question. My question is, you know, if there's a degree to sort of claim more revenues, why does the administration, instead of preventing the disbursement of revenues back to municipalities, propose a revenue increase, be it on the fish tax, which that would be a different conversation, but it would be a conversation, or a different revenue measure?
Through the chair, Representative Kreis Tompkins, this was the governor's attempt to address a portion of the revenue section. Any other discussions on new revenues are we're certainly willing to listen to. Bills that will be introduced, this will certainly be an ongoing discussion over the next this year and next year. I don't think we're naive in thinking that that won't be a discussion. So this was this administration's attempt in this budget process.
Thank you.
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't necessarily have a question so much as an Anchorage person. This is an issue that doesn't, I guess, directly impact us in the same way as the coastal communities, but I just want to express, you know, the way I see my role is to have a very statewide perspective, and we're, you know, sort of have to think of this as we're in this together, and I just, I guess it's just disappointing the lack of follow through on some of these proposals. If there was some kind of, you know, transformation, some kind of vision, some kind of leadership that I saw coming from the third floor that was about doing things differently in a way that could work, that could be something that was exciting for Alaska. But these proposals, just no communication with communities, no plan, just would absolutely devastate, you know, small communities. And so it seems like a real failure of leadership on the part of the third floor to put proposals like this out here without any kind of way to back them up as to what the impacts would be, and to really create divisiveness, you know, by doing things that just disproportionately impact some parts of the state more than others. I think it's really created, just that feeling where people, you know, start to have to just not feel as united as we are as Alaskans. And I hope as we consider these and we see the way the public has responded, that message is heard, you know, in your office and on the third floor, that we need to think about this differently. If there are going to be things that have to change, it has to be done in a way that doesn't devastate a local community, and that you know, engages everyone in figuring out, you know, how that's gonna look and how it's gonna work. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner, for coming in. And I know that this is a hard and unpleasant conversation, but the governor did say that everything's on the table. And just because everything's on the table doesn't mean that it is going to pass. We need to be able to discuss this and have and discuss the merits of why we agree or disagree with the proposal. But I have to agree with my colleagues that this does seem to go against the idea of localized government, of Alaska being open for business and sharing in the responsibilities of our state government. If this fish tax had been 100% to the municipalities, then I would say that's not equitable. But being at 50%, it's sharing the load, because now my district isn't affected as to the degree of some of the other coastal communities, but in Homer, for instance, the funds that are invested are directly back into the public access fish dock to support the fishing industry infrastructure. So they're putting that money directly back to that purpose, and I think that that's what most of these communities are doing. And the state relies upon the dock and fishery infrastructure to maintain that resource. And so to have it swept and then say we're going to distribute it across the state creates an undue burden on these communities who are expected to maintain this infrastructure. And I think that's the merit that we're getting at here. But we need to have this conversation. Even though it's unpleasant, we need to be able to defend it, have that opportunity, and say, regardless of how we feel about an administration or leadership or whatever, because we say that, but then we say, well, we can't be telling the boroughs and the municipalities how to do their job. That's their responsibility. It is our responsibility as legislators to look at the state as a whole. Alaska's fish does belong to all of us, but I can't ignore that these communities are expected to provide that infrastructure, and they need the support to do so. So, Commissioner, would you speak to the bill itself? Because I'm new to this and want to also give the public the benefit. You spoke to a little bit of the history, but in here it talks about an established harbor facility grant and grant applications. Under Section 4, it says the tax collected under this chapter shall be paid into a separate account in the general fund rather than the previous language that's on there. So would you speak to the bill itself so that we can have a full understanding of what's being proposed versus what was on the books before?
Representative Betts, we will have, we're going to have Director Spanos go through the bill for us.
Wonderful.
We'll give Representative Kopp an opportunity to ask a question, and then we'll have Mr. Spanos, the Deputy Director, come up and go through that. Thank you. Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner Tangeman, for being here. For the record, I have the highest regard for you, sir, so thanks for taking the bullets on all this discussion. It is a difficult policy discussion. Question I have is, it seems broadly this bill is consistent with maybe what we see the development of a budget kind of happening inside of a closed door room being worked as a math problem versus working with affected constituencies. And I can see how that can happen, especially if key personalities aren't really tied in with the state. So this is consistent with other things. I just wanted to bring a perspective, or maybe an ask, is that the administration have somebody maybe go out to Naknek in the summer and see what happens to a little town that goes from 1,100 to about 15,000. I used to work out there year-round, and I'll tell you, the police and the fire and the EMS calls just explode. Our little 10-person jail facility, you know, is full after night one with all the fishermen in town, and it's to the point where there's so many DUIs, you're just pulling keys out of their hands, and because you just can't stack them all in the jail, and that's not even getting into the fights and the assaults and the, you know, and so then you have the massive landfill load from the canneries, the massive sewer and water load. And that little community right now is desperately looking for a couple million dollars to build out their sewage infrastructure so they can handle this fishery that is one of the largest landing. I mean, it may be right behind on Alaska, so it's like the top four in the United States for tonnage going across the dock. And these little communities need help. And then, you know, similarly, when the state of Alaska opened the personal use dipnet fishery in the city of Kenai, I actually had the joy of managing that fishery for about 7 years, and there was no resources. We had half of Anchorage and the Matsu pouring down there, and everybody was having a good time, but it was like you got ran over by a truck by the time that had left, you know, with just the sheer force of managing that much parking and that much fish waste and human waste and all along your beaches. These little communities feel the same way. When the fishery is over, they're like, they take a deep sigh and then they recover. But it's a tremendous drain on resources. And so that's why you're sensing some of this this emotion. And I know you've probably heard it many times, but as Representative Vance said, it's a fair discussion where we're having it. But I think an experience of being out in these places when they're in the peak, all of a sudden you realize, boy, these aren't sleepy little areas. They are actually, you see how they're tied into the whole world is as a point of origination for landing and catch and like they do need help to do that better. So thank you for the liberty for that, Madam Chair.
Certainly. Thank you, Representative Edgman.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And I just before I quickly get to my point, I would bring the Bristol Bay Borough in the picture as well and talk about, it's a small sort of industrial center. And, you know, it's estimated that Bristol Bay in the summer months, and it's just a number, you know, we've got about 100,000 people that come and go out of that small, tiny corner of the entire state. And there's a lot of services that are expended. And, you know, the Bristol Bay Borough, they're looking at $10 million in north just to fix the sewer infrastructure issue that has been lingering for some time, and that's critical to the overall performance of the local industry there, which I would echo Representative Kopp's invitation that if you get the opportunity, Commissioner, and I'm sure you would probably take it up if you haven't been out to Bristol Bay, to go out there and actually see the borough, not to mention Unalaska during the A season and Kodiak and other areas as well. But a couple things just by way of getting to a real quick question. So in fairness, and this issue today is about House Bill 65 that we're talking about, but to go back up to maybe the 100,000 foot level to get to my question, I think the Dunleavy administration should get credit. You're trying to balance the budget and you're trying to bring some significant cost drivers under control. So if you look at the long-term projections, I think we all should be cognizant of that and sort of factor that in our long-range thinking. Short-term impacts of something like this, obviously, I don't think just pass muster, just clean and simple. But I wanted to go back to what I thought I heard you say a little bit ago, and that seemed to be some allusion or reference to the Dunleavy administration being open to new revenues. Did I hear that correctly?
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, he's not promoting revenues right now. He believes that we need to address the spending side first. As soon as you start introducing revenue bills, it waters down the spending discussion, I believe. And I think he would agree to that. So I think it's a first, we need to look at the spending side. And that goes to what Representative Kopp said as well. This administration did approach this budget process differently than the state's seen, I believe. He came to me first and said, we need to know how much revenue we have. And then that is why these types of bills are put on the table. It is available revenue, not getting into the impacts side of it, which are obviously extreme. We understand that. But he wanted to know what the available revenue was first and then go to the expenditure side and start prioritizing almost a zero-based budget approach. So that's why you have the budget that was presented and you have the deficit that was presented. We don't have revenue bills this year. We know revenue bills will be discussed. It's just going to be part of the process, and we'll be prepared to certainly sit at these microphones and discuss those when it's appropriate. But I just wanted to be upfront that we're not burying our heads in the sand as if we're never going to be talking about revenue bills in the future.
Just follow up quickly. You know, the governor has announced that that he's going to continue his community visits on the budget and presumably on the future of the state. But you know, on behalf of any community in House District 37, I would certainly extend their invitation for the governor, yourself, others to go out to these communities, meet with local leaders, and see what it's like in the wintertime, and certainly, obviously, in the summertime as well. By contrast, there's a lot going on out there, and I think a visit definitely is warranted. And certainly having that local conversation on the budget and the fiscal future, something I try to do very regularly with my communities, I think it's very much warranted.
Thank you. And I am not going to, I'm going to try not to veer off too much, but excuse me, as the commissioner designee of the Department of Revenue, don't you believe that revenue is a part of the resolution of this package of our fiscal problem in this state?
Madam Chair, it's obviously one side of the story, certainly. It's available revenue and prioritizing expenditures for that revenue. We are in a new state. We're in a position that we've never been in before. Budgets have generally been built with, you start with last year's budget and you adjust it as needed. And then revenues, unfortunately, we've lived and died by the price of oil, and we've had boom years and we've had bust years. So a stable, living in a state that had stable revenues makes budgeting a completely different exercise. But in Alaska, this is where we've been for the last, you know, several decades. The fact that we haven't had any other taxes of personal taxes, sales taxes, things like that, I view us as incredibly fortunate. We're the envy of 49 other states when it comes to that. Are we going to be going into a new Alaska in the coming decades? Probably so. But certainly, my perspective is I do budget more along the lines of the way individuals do their monthly budgets. How much revenue do you have to spend? You don't go out and decide, I want that $750,000 house and I want that Mercedes. And then you go to your checkbook and say, well, shoot, I don't have enough revenue to do those, but I've already bought them. So I appreciate the approach this governor is taking, because we all recognize that the revenues aren't at the level that we need for a sustainable period, I believe. And it is a problem that we all have to tackle and undertake.
Well, I guess that I equate it to the state of Alaska trying to build a new puzzle. And you need all the pieces to complete that puzzle. Mm-hmm. And one of those pieces is revenue. But moving on, Representative Tarr.
Well, Madam Chair, thank you. I guess I just am sort of surprised by the comment saying, you know, not having a conversation about revenue, because to me that's exactly what a bill like this is saying. It's a recognition that, you know, the state needs more revenue. I mean, instead of this being a new form, this is just taking money from local communities, but it's just like the property tax on oil and gas resources kind of thing. So I guess it doesn't seem entirely honest to say, you know, we're not having a conversation about revenue when really, you know, we are, but it's just in a more subverted form, right? I mean, it's not a new tax or anything, but it's a kind of shifting of the responsibility. So I don't know. I guess, again, it just seems we're having that conversation, just not in the way where we're moving forward yet. So thank you.
Are there any other questions for Commissioner Designee Tangeman? Representative Christ Hopkins.
Just a very quick comment, and I want to echo the speaker in that while I find this very disagreeable in a policy sense, as I'm sure you're getting from most of the committee, I think there is a lot of credit and in a very sort of odd way, it's a very intellectually honest budget. I mean, ADA receipts, and there's a few things, you know, I would asterisk that statement with. But, I mean, honest to goodness, this is what a cuts-only approach to balancing the budget looks like. And in a certain sense, I feel like it kind of moves the conversation forward, or certainly brings into focus the stakes. You might not like the stakes. I don't like some of the stakes, but the stakes are clear. So in a certain sense, I think this is a good conversation. So I appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Commissioner, seeing no other questions from this committee, I certainly want to thank you on behalf of the committee for coming. This is not a pleasant subject, and I'm sure this was not a pleasant thought this morning when you woke up, but we're not that tough. And we do appreciate your straightforwardness and your attempt to satisfy us in your responses. And with that, I understand that we have Deputy Director Spanos of the Tax Division online, and he will walk us through the sectional analysis. Mr. Spanos, are you online?
Yes.
Thank you. If you would identify yourself and your affiliation for the record and then begin, that would be just terrific.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Brandon Spanos, Deputy Director with the Department of Revenue Tax Division, and I'll go through the sectional analysis for HB 65.
And before you start, I would like to let the committee members know that they are free to ask questions as we go through. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Spanos. Sorry for the interruption.
That's fine. Madam Chair, Section 1 would amend AS 2960-800A relating to the Harbor Facility Grant Fund to conform to the repeal later in the bill of the statute providing for refunds to municipalities from the fisheries business taxes. Section 2 would amend AS 2960-810 relating to grant applications for harbor facilities to conform to the repeals later in the bill of statutes providing for allocations of the refunds to municipalities of fisheries business taxes. Section 3
Excuse me.
Would amend
Representative Newman has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Deputy Commissioner, I can read the sectional analysis myself instead of reading it verbatim. So if you could maybe just describe it also, if you know what I mean. I can read this. I don't need it read to me. If you could maybe describe it so the public can understand a little bit better. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Newman.
Representative Newman, through the chair, I'll do my best to do the fairly technical bill with repealers and technicalities. On the whole, what the bill does is stops the sharing of 50% of the tax with local communities and allows that money to stay in the general fund to be appropriated as the legislature sees fit.
May I add something?
You certainly may.
Madam Chair. Mr. Spanos, I think there was a question on this side about the Harbor Facility Grant Fund and what that actually has to do with this. So maybe as you go through the sectional, if things like that are in there, could you explain how that interacts with this bill and why it's in the statute in the first place?
The Harbor Facilities Grant Fund is actually administered by Department of Commerce, and Department of Revenue. Our function is simply to collect the revenue from the fisheries business taxpayers and the landing taxpayers, and we do a transfer to Department of Commerce and Community Development and to the local municipalities. So as far as how the fund itself functions, I wouldn't be able to speak to that.
Maybe we should have the Department of Commerce here, or maybe you could respond, Deputy Commissioner Designee, in relation to how that would be effective.
Yes, ma'am. We'll work with the Department of Commerce and respond.
Thank you for that.
Madam Chair,
Representative Vance.
In here it says the harbor facility may submit to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for an application for the grant. So is that a different conversation than with Commerce?
Madam Chair, if I might, we will do a deeper dive on exactly the interplay between DOT, Commerce, and Revenue. I know Revenue administers the tax, collects it, and then distributes it the 50% back out. So that's certainly the gist of the bill, but we'll look into the details on the other interplays between the other departments and include that in some of our responses.
Perfect. And what effects this will have on the grants?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Representative Vance?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I think that's kind of the main thing behind my question is, as we've all mentioned, the municipalities need support for the infrastructure to provide the services regarding the fisheries. And if the money does not get distributed through this revenue sharing, it goes into the larger general fund. Now, it says that there's a separate account in the general fund, but nonetheless, it goes into the bigger Alaskan pot to be redistributed to the communities. So, obviously, these coastal communities would have a large deal of uncertainty of whether or not that money is going to be channeled back to them in an equitable manner when they are having to bear the larger burden of the infrastructure that supports the fisheries and in all of the commerce that is generated through them. I think that's what the communities are wanting to know is if you're going to take the mechanism of the 50% that we know that we're going to get, where's the assurance that we're still going to have support from the state to be able to maintain, you know, provide for the harbors and everything else that's involved? I mean, other communities are having to add more fire protection, more police and things like that because of the influx of the fishing season. That's what they're wanting to know is where's the assurance for the future that we're going to be able to maintain this? Because if this area dries up, so does the commerce. And that's opposite of what we want in building our strengthening our economy. We have to have some of these things in place. And where's the assurance from the administration that money is going to come back to these communities in one way or the other?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, walking through this sectional is certainly not going to address that question. I would appreciate it if Mr. Spanos could probably get through the rest of the sectional. And instead of reading verbatim, he can just address Section 3 does X, Section 4 does X. So, again, if we could just get the sectional on the record, I certainly don't want him to attempt to answer the question you asked, but I appreciate the question.
That would be fine. Mr. Spanos, would you like to go
back? Yes, Madam Chair, I believe I was on Section 4. Is that correct?
Yes.
So Section 4 would amend a title within the tax statutes that relates to separate accounting of the fisheries taxes, the landing tax, and that's to conform to this the overall repeal. Section 5 is repealing several sections. There's five separate sections, one within, I believe that's DCCED's statutes, and the rest are all within the tax division statutes or the statutes where the Department of Revenue administers, and it's basically stopping the sharing with the municipalities and with any other special funds. Sections 6 through 9 of the bill, they're simply conforming amendments for delayed provisions that are already out there in existing law. Section 10 is a clarification of the applicability of the first five sections, just transition-type language. Sections 11 through 12 of the bill, they provide the Department of Revenue with timing for repeal of various regulations that are currently out there relating to the sharing of the taxes. And Section 13 of the bill provides for retroactive application of, Commissioner Tangeman explained earlier, the collection of the FY18 taxes has already happened. It's sitting in the general fund now, and we share those in October of each year, and this would basically have those funds remain in the general fund. Section 14 through 18 provides for effective dates of the various sections of the bill.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Spanos? Seeing none, Mr. Spanos, I thank you. Are there, we appreciate your walking us through the sectional. Are there any other additional comments from this committee on this legislation at this time? Representative Christ-Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, to the open for business point, I mean, I represent coastal communities. I've heard from tons of people in my district, hell no, basically, and that's probably pretty unsurprising. It's reflexive. You're taking revenues away from those communities. But, I mean, I think there's a broader point here that I think is really legitimate, which is when you're talking about revenues from resource extraction or resource industries, there's really an interest for everybody involved, including the state of Alaska, to have alignment in those revenues. And I mean, I think if you certainly consult the North Slope Borough, but also the three major oil and gas companies in Alaska about the oil and gas property taxes, I think there's a lot of concern that by taking the revenues away from the North Slope Borough, that's going to have a chilling effect on resource development up there. Certainly, that there would be a similar effect in fisheries. And the cruise industry, I think, very much found that out when, not through the legislature or the governor, was looking at reallocating cruise ship passenger head tax revenues, that they would suddenly be in a position where their industry would actually be somewhat jeopardized because communities can't manage the effects. So I think there's actually really an interest alignment or sort of incentive alignment that's important with these revenues that I, you know, beyond just representing my communities in coastal Alaska, I think is sort of at play here. And so I just wanted to, you know, put that out, and I think that's building on other members' comments. But yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to sort of consider the legislation.
Thank you. Other committee members? Commissioner Designee Tangeman, I want to say we appreciate your courage in coming before this committee with such an unpopular bill. And it's been difficult. We look forward to further information from you at our next meeting. This obviously is a very controversial bill, particularly in coastal communities. I'm very concerned with how this proposal would affect not only the communities that I represent, but coastal communities throughout Alaska. Our fishing communities provide the infrastructure and raw services for the industry that we depend on, and we depend on our portion of the raw fish tax to fund our local budgets. I have heard no justifications for why the state should be entitled to the municipal share. Aside from there being little justification for such action, there is no benefit to the residents of the state of Alaska. In fact, it hurts residents. It simply is robbing Peter to pay Paul. We don't pay any state taxes, as you mentioned, but we do pay local taxes. The state would be forcing local governments to either raise taxes on residents to make up the shortfall or drastically reduce essential services. That is simply my opinion, but I welcome further discussion and explanation from the administration on why this is a good idea, and I will try and keep an open mind. Next Tuesday, April 9th, the committee will hear public and invited testimony on House Bill 65. As invited testimony, the Alaska Municipal League will be giving a short presentation to lead things off, followed by public testimony. If there is nothing further to come before this committee, and seeing no further business, I will adjourn at 10:55.